Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
So good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The last time I spoke here was about sexuality, and in particular I was talking about sexual intimacy in the marriage relationship. Family Life Ministry decided that we'll do a follow-up dialogue and forum, not a lecture. A few couples come together and we will share our life and we answer questions so that we can get close to what God desires for the marriage relationship. Now, today, I am covering on something just as important as sex. It is also spelled with the letter S. It is the Sabbath. Some of you might immediately be thinking, Sabbath? What's that got to do with me? It's got everything to do with the Jews, not me. Well, just don't check out yet, because I will show you at the end of this sermon that it's got everything to do with us. For the next 4 weeks, we'll be camping out in Leviticus chapter 23, and it's about the religious calendar and festivals of Israel as a nation. Now, there are principles over the next 4 weeks that we will extract from their rhythm, routine, to help us live as covenant disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, this Sabbath is discussion today is highly relevant because of our demanding work expectation and schedule in Singapore. I realize it is not just applicable for workers or for business owners that goes through all this very gruesome regime, but students as well. In particular, I believe students, they have such a crazy schedule in my life nowadays. I don't know how they do it. We got to be more encouraging and more supportive of what they are going through today. And together, whether we are workers or students, I pray that as we apply the principle and the practice of the Sabbath today, it will help us become faithful disciples of Jesus. And then we can thrive over the long haul. If not, then we are no different from this world. And then we miss God's design for our time and purpose on this earth. So I'm so glad, Pastor Kat, you have read the verse already, right? Thank you very much. You saved me some time right now. Now, in light of this verse, try to put yourself into the shoes of an Israelite. Because for 400 years, they were slaves. They labored day and night, 24/7, 365, more, produce more. But now, they have a newfound life and freedom, a new identity and new instructions that they are God's people, kingdoms of priests and holy nation. They are to live separate from the ways of the world. They were issued a new sense of order of life and routine. And by now, you see how some of this includes the laws for offerings as they approach God, the ordination on priests. Only certain people can do certain things, the importance of public health and hygiene, personal holiness, and how they should take care of one another in the community. We come to Leviticus chapter 23, and we find that the religious, ceremonial calendar and season were given to Israel so that they can order their lives around God. Surely, you and I cannot be a new people of God without new priorities and routines, can you? Let me say this one more time. Surely you cannot be a new people of God without new priorities and routines, can you? So the Bible teacher Warren Wiersbe said this beautifully. He said, God gave Israel a calendar that was tied to the rhythms of the seasons and the history of the nation. It was an unusual calendar because it not only summarized what God has done for them in the past, but he had also anticipated what God would do for them in the future. The salvation work of Jesus Christ, the founding of the church, and the future of people of Israel are all illustrated in all the seven feasts. So you ask, so what are the regular times and feasts of the Lord? Well, today we will begin with the look at the Sabbath in verse 3. Then it is followed by seven feasts from verse 4 to verse 44. Namely, the seven feasts are the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. All right, some of you are interested in this, which is good, and we will have time to camp out for the next couple of weeks, all right? For today, we will focus on the Sabbath, and then the other 3 weeks, we will look at the rest of the feast. Now, to keep us on track where we are in the Leviticus roadmap, all right, we are on the 8th panel under the title Holy Rhythm. And we are so thankful we are almost at the end of the book of Leviticus. Praise the Lord. It's one of the hardest books the preaching team had to handle, at least in my last 13 years here. So we have entitled today's sermon as Holy Day or Holiday. All right, so pray with me right now as we ask God to help us apply the Sabbath principle and practice. Lord Jesus, we take a deep breather because this day we don't want to rush through this time. You call us, all who are weary and are heavy laden, to come to you, and you will find rest for your soul. Thank you for your ever-present and open invitation for us to rest in you, because your doors are never closed. Give us wisdom and passion to order our lives around you and your priorities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Leviticus 23, verse 3, you observe two characteristics that makes the Sabbath a holy day and not just a holiday. So the first point is a Sabbath that is marked by solemn rest. So let's look at Leviticus 23, verse 3 again. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day, it is a Sabbath of solemn rest. A holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. Now the phrase Sabbath of solemn rest, this in ESV, in the NIV is translated as complete rest. In the Hebrew, it literally reads a Sabbath of Sabbath observance. A Sabbath of Sabbath observance, right? Why phrase like this? Emphasis. When things are repeated, there's always a purpose of emphasis, that there's got to be solemn and complete rest during the Sabbath. And this is accompanied by, within the same verse, when it says, you shall do no work, in case you miss what is solemn rest. Now, it's interesting that this phrase, Sabbath of solemn rest, is also used in two other occasions in the book of Leviticus. The other time it's used is the Day of Atonement. And this is found celebrated on the seventh month of the Jewish calendar that is seen in Leviticus 16, verse 30 to 31. Let me read quickly. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest. The next time it is used is for the seventh year. This is the sabbatical year of the Lord for the land. The land rests. And that is found in Leviticus 25, verse 4. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. So as we know, this is the year that they are not supposed to cultivate the land. And so on the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, the 28th year, all the way to the 49th year, including the Jubilee year on the 50th year, they are not supposed to cultivate the land. They are supposed to let it rest. Now, allow us to take a step backwards right now and take all this in. God is telling us, the Israelites, something very important, the rest and the rhythm that He's telling them. So He says, hey, guys, you need a weekly Sabbath rest. I've also instituted an annual Sabbath rest as you observe the Day of Atonement. And then on the seventh year, the land is supposed to rest. Now think about this. Most bosses would demand or require that their people work, work, and work, right? Produce, produce, and produce. Perform, perform, and perform. One more, and if you're king, you require work. But here we are told in the Bible that our heavenly King not just says, yes, work you must, but rest you must. I mean,
doesn't it struck us how beautiful it is as we look to our heavenly King that gives work is honor and dignity, but at the same time, you must have your due rest. And I really find, as I look at this, what an amazing God we have. He's not a slave driver. And therefore, a young person nowadays, a few young people here and there, when they want to affirm something as really good, they will say, wow, this is fire, legit, 100, no cap. You know what they're talking about? You don't know, right? Yeah. Well, all young people would know, yeah. Now, serious, this is no cap, because the Sabbath made its way into the Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment stands there. So just imagine Moses one day stood up and told the people after they received the Ten Commandments, hey guys, we have some solid word from the Lord. You shall worship no other gods before me. Honor your father and mother. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. Hey, but guys, on the seventh day, take a day off. Killing, stealing, murder, adultery, put on the same importance as take a day off. If you're an Israelite, you say, huh? This God quite good. Call us, must take a day off. And this is amazing. And in order to emphasize how serious God viewed the Sabbath, the Bible tells us in the life of the Israelites, the penalty in the Mosaic law for violating the Sabbath was death. Meow. Stone. I mean, that's serious stuff. Can you see how in the rhythm of the calendar, starting with the seventh day every week, in the seventh month, Sabbath in the year, in the Day of Atonement celebration, in the seventh year, all the way to the Jubilee 49, 50, and even 51 years actually. Can you see how it gives the people a sense of pace and rest in their worship of the living God throughout their lives? I mean, think about it. They can take a break from their back-breaking agricultural farmland work. I know nowadays we have equivalent now. We sit on our chair and our laptop are also back-breaking also, right? Yeah. But it allows our body and the land to heal. So Tim Keller said this so insightfully. He says, anyone who overworks is really a slave. Anyone who cannot rest from work is a slave to a need for success, to a materialistic culture, to exploitative employers, to parental expectation, and to all of the above. Sabbath is a declaration of freedom. Okay, I hear you, Pastor, talking about this Sabbath to the Jews. So, what about us? What does it mean for us as 21st century believers? How do we find solemn, complete rest on a weekly basis, on an annual basis, and even on the seventh year sabbatical basis? Now, so therefore, this is the idea. We have to extract the principle of these practices that is seen in what God told them. And the question is very clear. Work we must, work we should. But we need, in our modern terms, pit stops. Regular pit stops throughout the day. Now, let me say something very quickly about work. If 6 days, the Bible says 6 days of your work, and you drag your feet to work for the 6 days, I think you're in the wrong job. Really. As a pastor, I really enjoy the work I do 80% of the time. There are 20% I don't like to do, including standing on the pulpit to preach here. It's a developed thing over the years. It's a responsibility, so I have to stand here to preach. I will preach and do my very best. There are certain things I wouldn't like to do. So for a pastor, if I don't like you, I'm in trouble. Right? Relationship between the pastors and the people are very important. If the people hate the pastor hate the people, we have a problem. So I'm just saying that you really got to enjoy your work, because work is God has ordained us to do so. And there will be those unhappy moments. I pray God will give us grace. Through them, we will grow. He will grow us in various aspects of our life. Problem does help us to rely on God even more. But here, of course, we come back to the whole idea of how we extract this principle of regular pit stops throughout the day, the week, and the year. Now, so most of us in Singapore, we have a 5 days work week. So we thank God for it. So Saturday and Sunday is an opportunity. We must carve out time for our Sabbath rest. Okay, I know there are people who, of course, even though Saturday, Sunday, I know for parents who work 5 days a week, you know, it's very busy with so many things on Saturday and Sunday. I understand that. I'm just saying that you got to carve out time. Not a legalistic 24 hours, 12 hours. It's just carving out sufficient time so that you can anchor with God. So there are people here who don't have Saturday, Sunday off. They have to work on the weekends. What do? Hopefully, they are compensated for some weekday offs. And then same thing, you carve out time from those weekday offs. In fact, weekday offs for me as a pastor is the most beautiful time of the week. Why? Because you go anywhere, there's nobody in. Yeah, so my kids were very young. Every Tuesday morning, we are found in the zoo. We are not members of the zoo, we are friends of the zoo, yeah. So when you go there, nobody in. The whole entire pool is yours, the zoo is mine. All right, and so it's very, very resting when there's nobody around. So this is where when you just make time, carve out those time from your day offs so that you can anchor with God. But the point is, whether it's weekday off or weekend off, heed the words of Gordon MacDonald when he says these words. He says, beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. So some questions for you to consider in terms of observing the Sabbath are some of these questions. How do you use your time to cease from work and rejuvenate your body and your soul in God? How do you refresh yourself and connect with people whom you love? Or how do we step back and reflect on our life's purpose and priorities? And perhaps the last one that I think is very helpful. If you know you're going to die tomorrow, you know you're going to die end of the month, you're going to know you're going to die end of the year, how will you start living from today onwards? These are questions that can help us go back to what really matters in our relationship with God. Let me now go to some even more concrete matters for application. The first thing that came to my mind was what nowadays young people like to deal with, talk about gap months or gap years. Now, parents, don't stone me right now, right? Our young people go through tremendous stress and mental stress nowadays. And if they come to us to suggest a gap month a year, consider it. Consider it. Of course, we don't just want them to do a gap year without any plans. There'll be too many gaps in their plans here. But work through with them, work with them, let them pursue things that will rejuvenate their life and their soul. And they can orientate their lives to God. This is the time you can put in some healthy demands for them to connect with you and to discuss life with you. And then help them transit and move on to the place of God's will for their life. All right. Nowadays, I hear even adults are taking 6 months off work, 1 year off work. Why? They need this time to rest and to review their lives. I know that there's no guaranteed job for you after you take your 6 months or your 1 year. So it's got to be a really calculated decision that you make if you decide to do so. So in our church, we have the IDMCI uni program, 3 months before they go into university. They can consider this pit stop, right? They can orientate themselves to God. And I know that period of time that many university students who rather go for their internships, because nowadays it's so very competitive. You want to put as much resume as possible even before you graduate so that you stand a chance to get a job. So it's just a lot, not just one internship. Many internships nowadays, as I speak to the younger people. So that can really be very challenging. But it's something that allows them, like this, it's a value thing. It's something to reorientate themselves to God. Or we're going to have our 3 months revamp IDMCI adult program so that adults can take time so that they can anchor with God and reorientate themselves to God's purposes. Now, so this is about the pit stop in terms of the gap months or sabbatical months or so on. Now, another matter that came to my mind is this. Do you give your domestic helper a weekly Sabbath? Remember, they are your helper. They are not our slaves. So think about that. Or if you're an employer of a company, do you ensure your workers observe their Sabbath rest? And these are things that we all can work together so that we can observe and apply God's law together. Let me close this point one sermon by sharing with you how I practice the Sabbath principle in my own life. Now remember, I'm expecting some of these pockets of time to show you how I find my Sabbath rest. The first thing that is very important to me in my Sabbath rest is my daily 1 hour time with the Lord. It's been my habit right now to wake up 1 hour earlier. Just 1 hour earlier so I can read the scriptures, pray, and then I'm out of the home in 1 hour's time. And this is where how I keep close to God in reading the word. And then as I drive my wife to work, drop her in the bus stop or so on, I will take the time to pray with her. Another moment I can observe Sabbath with my wife is to connect with God. That's the idea of the Sabbath. On most Saturdays and Sundays, right? Most Saturday and Sunday, I have to sleep about 2 hours in the afternoon. 3:30 to 5:30. I have to. Because I wake up at about 5 a.m. on Saturday morning and 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. And in order for me to be effective on Saturday night and Sunday night, I need to have this nap just to rejuvenate my strength. So that's on the Saturday and Sunday. On the weekday nights, by and large, I carve out 2 nights to spend time with my family. One is my wife, one is with my children. All right. So I don't just want to spend time as a family. I want to spend time with my wife and do whatever rejuvenates you. And the rest of the night usually are some form of night ministry and meetings. Then officially on the Tuesday is Covenant Staff Day Off. All right. And this day, after I send my children and my wife to work, what do? I'll go up to the Bukit Timah to walk. Why? To walk alone with God. You see, this is only a habit that I formed only 2 years ago after my sabbatical. As a person, I don't like to be alone. Huh? I feel very uncomfortable to be alone. I always like people around me. So that's my problem. And so after the sabbatical, God was just urging me, you really need to find time, not just your morning, but find extended time with me. So right now, that's Tuesday morning, because a beautiful time where I walk alone with God, talk to Him, and complain to Him about you. Oh, no, complain to you. Yeah, just talk to God. And unload, download everything I need to, and then God refresh me. And then I have a quiet lunch by myself. Again, I told you, I don't like to have lunch by myself. You look stupid having lunch by yourself, yeah. But once you have lunch, now I treasure lunch by myself, because there I'm able to think about the things I've been reading, things I'm experiencing. And since my sabbatical, I write a Tuesday reflection right now over the last 1 week. But it helps me to anchor with God and to deem what is important, what is the still small voice of God that is speaking to me. And then on Monday afternoon, I take another nap of 2 hours. Now, by now, some of you say, Pastor, you nap all the time. No lah, 3 times lah, Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday during my day off. Why? It's because I cannot do cat naps. I don't fall asleep immediately. Some people, wow, you have a gift, lie down, you sleep. I don't have that gift. I cannot fall asleep. In the plane is one of the most torturous time in the plane. I cannot sit and sleep for some reason. I just can't. All right? And so I take a while to fall asleep. So therefore, those power nap, I cannot do power nap. I just cannot fall asleep. How to do power nap? So I found over a moment of my life, there's a rhythm. I need that 1.5, 2 hours of sleep. Then I feel very refreshed after that. In other words, know your body. So you're blessed. You take 15 minutes cat nap, and you're totally awake like a cat. Then praise the Lord. That's your 15 minutes sabbatical nap. Then praise the Lord. It's very good. I rejoice for you, but don't ask me to do that 15 minutes nap. I need 2 hours. Now, so by now, some of you, I've extracted some of these things. I show you some of this sabbatical pause and rest and pit stop. And some of you may be asking right now, hey, Pastor, when do you work? So, welcome to my world. If you're with me on Monday and Wednesday, from about 9 o'clock, sometimes at 8 o'clock, I have back-to-back meeting together with Pastor Tony very often. Back-to-back meeting, usually all the way until 5:30. Back-to-back, why? We squeeze every possible meeting under heaven and earth on these 2 days. Because we cannot afford it to overflow to Thursday and Friday for a simple reason. Thursday, Friday is very often our sermon preparation. And if we are not preaching this Sunday, we are already starting reading about what's coming up ahead. And we also use that time, I use that time for a lot of external meetings and mentoring meetings to separate from the work that I do within the local church. And so these are the various times that and now just bear in mind, I put all the big rocks, all right? I now gotta overlay it with so many other duties and responsibilities, right? Whether hospitalization visit, funeral, wedding, you know, mentoring meetings, external meetings with this group, that group, and what group. Now I lay everything all over into this entire 7 days or 1 month. And I pray that this gives meaning and purpose to my life because I've already decided those pit stops and those places that I must get my Sabbath so that I can do the work that God has asked me to do. I want to close point one by just simply saying this. Now, I of course, this is a brief template for my life. It's not the only template. I wish there is another marketplace person stand here and teacher, doctor, engineer, I don't know what, a business owner, and then they tell you, oh, this is how I do my solemn rest. So in your CGs, you all discuss, huh? What works for you? What works for you? But if you can find those times and you're faithful to the principle, you'll go for the long haul. So I mean, let me close this part by simply saying, Jesus said Sabbath was made for men, not men for the Sabbath. Yes, the Bible tells us there's a pattern for a day of Sabbath where you and I find solemn and complete rest in God. And of course, we must guard it carefully, why? Because we are workaholics, because we have a lot of work demands. But at the same time, please be careful that to guard against legalism, whereby we refuse to do anything else. You live like a hermit, you shut yourself from the world, and you don't want to end up living like the Pharisees who actually kept the law, but they missed the heart of the Sabbath. So balance that. But let's start today, as the scripture tells us, let our Sabbath be marked by a solemn rest in God. Now let me move on right now to discuss the second characteristics of the Sabbath from Leviticus 23. And what makes it a holy day? It is marked as a sacred sign. So Leviticus 23 verse 3 reads, 6 days shall work be done, but on the 7 days, a Sabbath, a solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. Now it's very interesting that Leviticus 23 verse 3 tells us the Sabbath is a holy convocation, a sacred assembly. Now, some scholars have commented that the Sabbath is not one of the appointed feasts where people gathered or convocated together like this. They don't see it being said in the scripture. It was only later years that the Jews will practice this holy convocation. So some other scholars, therefore, have also proposed an alternative reading of this holy convocation and sacred reading. It is better rendered simply as a proclamation of holiness. Meaning, it's just declared, the day is declared as a holy occasion, and there's no mass worship together for the people of God. Now, if this is so, then it gives meaning to the second part of verse 3 that says it is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. Wherever you are, in all your dwelling places, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. Now, we will recall right now so far, the tabernacle is the holy place where everyone brings our offering to the Lord, right? But right now, the Bible says that in your observance of the Sabbath, it is holy unto the Lord in all your dwelling places, wherever you are. Wherever you are. As long as it's done to the Lord, it is holy unto Him when it's set apart. Now, of course, I don't want us to take this as a license, therefore, we sanction live stream worship from our home and say, yalla, it's worship everywhere. What? Because the Bible also tells us to gather together. So there's a legitimate when you worship from home. Why? Because you're not well, you're sick. Fantastic. The COVID has allowed you to join us despite the fact that you're not able to be physically present with us. But I think by and large, it's important for us to gather together, to worship God together. Now, here comes the second sermon point that I want to underscore that's very important. When the Israelites observe the Sabbath wherever they are, remember, wherever they are, they have to exercise a lot of faith to trust God for the food that will come on their table. They have to trust God. I mean, Moses and the priest cannot just go around all the houses and check, hey, are you observing your Sabbath? Are you the audience? They cannot go around and spot check on all of them. So just imagine as they observe the Sabbath, on the holy Sabbath of the seventh day, can you imagine the field is just quiet, it's just silent. Only the birds are flying over. And then suddenly, a father with a child, the child asks the father, "Father, why is there no one working on the field this day?" And the father says, "Well, because the Bible tells us that this is a holy day. This is a day of Sabbath that we are supposed to observe to find our complete rest. But more important than that, my child, when you and I observe the Sabbath, it points to a very important lesson and truth in the Bible." And the child says, "What is that?" And the father says, "When we observe the Sabbath, it is a sacred sign of God's covenant to us. It's a sacred sign of God's covenant to us." How do I know that? Let's turn to Exodus 31, verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, "Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generation as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." A sign, a symbol, pointing to something very important: God's covenant. Now, think with me. When God wanted to seal the covenant relationship with Noah after the flood, what did he show him? Rainbow, right? The verse tells us in Genesis 19, 12 and 13, "This is the sign of the covenant I will make between me, you, and the living creatures and all that. I have set a bow in the cloud, a rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign." Next, when God wanted to seal his covenant relationship with Abraham, what did he ask him to do? This one not so pleasurable. The circumcision. So in Genesis 17, 11, "You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you." Now, if you scan the pages of Scripture, there will be other signs that God sealed with different of his servants throughout the Scripture. But here in Exodus 31, 16 and 17, the Bible tells us the Sabbath. When you observe the Sabbath, it is a sign of the covenant. And we will show the world that we are in covenant relationship with the Almighty God. Now, think again. In doing the circumcision, they only got to do it once in their life. Once in their life. But in the Sabbath keeping, it's every week. You declare to yourself, you declare to the world of God's faithful covenant to you forever. In other words, what are you saying every week when you observe the Sabbath? You're saying, "Almighty God, you are the creator of heavens and earth. You watch over me. You watch over my family. You watch over my needs. You watch over me when I am resting." And what a glorious truth. It makes that a holy day, not just a holiday, that when you and I are fully rested, because our God neither slumber nor sleep. Now, let's apply this. So when the Jewish folks observe the Sabbath, they point them to the sacred sign, the covenant, God's covenant with them. What about us? How does this apply to us? Let me summarize this part. All of us know that Jesus in the New Testament is the fulfillment of the new covenant that Prophet Jeremiah talks about in Jeremiah 31. Before Jesus went to the cross, what did he institute? The Lord's Supper. Why? It is a reminder that his body will be broken for the sins of the world. His blood will be shed for the forgiveness of all sins. His sacrifice on the cross will be the sign of the new covenant. And that's why the book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, a better covenant. Brothers and sisters, I want to land by just simply saying that each time you and I observe the Sabbath rest, not just solemn rest, there is a sacred sign to the world, this single message: Jesus, you are my Lord and King. You are my security and provider. I will put all my faith and hope in you. You are completely trustworthy. Because if you died for me, there's nothing that you will be told from me unless it's for my ultimate good. Come, Lord Jesus, you are my faithful and eternal covenant. That's what you will be declaring. God's eternal covenant. So let the Sabbath rest not just be a time of that solemn, complete rest, but when you do it, there's a sign pointing to the eternal covenant. In this case, Jesus, our Redeemer. He died on the cross. He was resurrected. He will come again. If we can remind ourselves of this truth every week, I think we can journey better. Let me conclude the sermon. We can see two characteristics in the Sabbath that makes it a holy day and not just a holiday. First, it's marked by solemn rest. That's where we have to cease from our labor, find rest in God. Otherwise, we burn out, we lose our witness, and more importantly, we don't want to be a slave to our world. We want to be free in Christ, secured in God. Secondly, it's a mark of a sign, a sacred sign. See the rainbow in the sky, we say, wow, thank you, Lord, for your covenant. Think about the Jewish circumcision, we say, thank you, Lord, for the covenant. And by each week, as you observe the Sabbath, you can also remind yourself of the new covenant that Jesus has with you, and the world might see Jesus in all of us. Let me close with this final illustration. On August the 12th last month, Challenge New Asia released a headline article that reads, Marvel introduces new X-Men mutant named Jitto. Jitto, the name itself is very cute, Jitto, who is a Singaporean teen by the name of Sophia Young. Now, I'm not a Marvel nor a mutant fan and all that. But there's going to be this new series in the comics books and the movies that will come out. And one of them is cast as a Singaporean named Jitter. Now, what is her special power? Hyper focus. This is what the world sees us, Singaporeans. Hyper focus. Which means, according to the article, she can do anything she sets her mind to do, assessing talents and skills most people train their lives to develop. But there's only one catch in their power. It leads to an immediate crash if she exerts an ability for too long. So she must always have a stopwatch with her at all times because she can only use her power for 1 minute. So we all now look forward to the movie. So she can be a 1 minute skilled locksmith, a 1 minute martial art artist. So if I have the gift, I can preach like Timothy Keller for 1 minute. Then the rest preach like Tan Kee Kiong, yeah. I don't know how useful is that to do something good for 1 minute. Maybe can, 1 minute can do a lot of good things. Can save people from getting into car accident, etc., right? But isn't this interesting that Marvel would cast a Singaporean teen in such a character? I think there are some accolades there that we can pat ourselves on our back. Or, for example, can do anything she sets her mind to. Bracket for me, super diligent, intelligent, and super hardworking. Praise the Lord. Assess talent skills most people train their life to develop. I interpret it as, well, super fast in development and training. But wait, her power is not forever. So utilizing her power can lead to an immediate crash if she exerts her ability for too long. What do I call this? So Singaporean don't know when to stop and just crash. She needs a stopwatch on her at all times. I interpret it as, yes, she needs to learn to take a Sabbath rest and trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. All of us are in some way this Sophia Young, this Singaporean teen. May God help us find our Sabbath so that we can be made holy for His purpose and for this world. Let's pray together. I feel like this morning, if all eyes are closed, I want to speak to any one of you who do not know Jesus. You do not know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. I want to speak to you just for a short while. My friend, we all live in a very busy world, where our hearts are restless until we find our rest in God. I want you to know that Jesus promised you a special rest in this world from all your anxieties and fears. He also promised an eternal rest with Him when we should pass away from this world. You see, this is God's free gift to you. That's why Christians call this the good news, the gospel. It's not what we do, it's what has been done for us. And all you need to do is to open up your hearts this day. Open your heart this day and receive this free gift that is in Jesus Christ. It's all been done for you on the cross. So my dear friend, if you are not a believer today and you hear us talking about this rest, God wants to give you this rest today. So right now, if you desire this gift, just pray with me quietly in your heart right now. Pray with me, dear Lord Jesus. I invite you into my heart today. I want to receive this precious gift of spiritual rest in my life. Come and live in me today. So if you are a non-believer and you have said this prayer in your heart, I want to pray for you. In a count of 1, 2, 3, just lift up your right hand. Nobody is looking at you. It's the moment that you say, Lord, I lift up my hand to receive this free gift of rest, both now and forevermore. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. If you have said this prayer, just lift up your right hand. I want to pray for you. Anyone? Anyone? Any non-believer, you have said this prayer in your heart and says, I want to receive this rest that Jesus promised for both now and in the future. The Lord bless you. If you are brought by someone and you want to speak more about this rest in God, please come and speak with us later on. But for the rest of us, as believers, you need to take this seriously because God emphasized that in Scripture. To find complete rest for our soul on a weekly basis, and when we do so, we'll point to this wonderful eternal covenant, God's covenant to you and I. I know we live in a very troubling world. That's why all the more we need to come to Jesus. We need to find our rest in Him. Be careful not to drink from the fountain of this world. It makes you more and more thirsty. Drink from the Lord Jesus, because He said you will not thirst again. But brothers and sisters, we really need to be more intentional in keeping the Sabbath, so that we can connect to the vine, find freedom in Jesus, and do not be a slave to our work. So my dear friends, if this is your desire this day, in a weekly schedule of your life, you want to carve out time, connect to Jesus, and not be a slave to our work. If this is your desire, I want to pray for you. Just lift up your right hand right now. I want to pray for you. You are saying to God, I want to make sure, you know, on a weekly basis, I carve out time. On a daily basis, I carve out time. And so that I can anchor with Jesus and fellowship with Him and abide in the vine. Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters right now. This week, Lord, give them wisdom, discipline, and great intention, dear Father, to find time to rest in You and to point people, Lord, to the glorious Jesus that we worship. You may put your hands down. Father, You see the desires of Your people. Jesus, we need You ever more each day. We want to worship You alone, not our work, not our success, not the expectation, our own expectation and the expectations of others, dear Lord. We want to be free in Jesus. Lord, because You are the one who makes the sun to rise. You bring the earth new life. Oh Lord, You bring us food on our table. You care for all our needs. Oh, help us. We want to be free in Jesus, and not a slave to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and let's use this song as our worship to the Lord.
Who makes the sun to rise and brings the earth new life in every being? Jesus, it is You. Who turns the day to night and watches me as I begin to dream? Jesus, it is You. Who brings me food for my table? Who cares for all of my needs? Who the road with me, has gone with me through all that I have been? Jesus, it is You. Jesus, it is You. We lift our hands to the Lord. So I lift my hands. We lift our hands in worship, in praise and adoration.
I lift my soul
to You and all of my days, and all of my rights, and all of my wrongs. I offer my life, I offer my life. Jesus said, "Here's you." Who sees my brokenness and carries me when I am frail and weak? Jesus, it is you. Who tells the storm to rest when I am overwhelmed and cannot speak? Jesus, it is you. Who wears my guilt on his shoulders? Who holds my heart in his hands? Who takes my thoughts and fears
spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.